Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 108 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emelson, and joining me as always, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week's episode is slightly off schedule due to the Easter holiday, which we didn't realize until a little bit late.
So, I like how you say we there, by the way, because it was truly just me being an idiot and not remembering what day it was this weekend. So,
well, I will say I did not mind not having anything to do yesterday afternoon.
That's fair.
I wasn't complaining. I'll say I was not complaining, but holy shit, the expansion announcement is tomorrow.
I know.
Crazy. And if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, which I'm going to edit this as soon as we get off the recording and get it online. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, expansion announcements tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. The announcement is at noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific time. I have no idea what that translates to in Europe. It's like 5 p.m. UTC. You do the conversion yourself. It's tomorrow. But yeah, so today's episode, we're just going to spend the whole thing pretty much speculating about the new expansion, talking about things we hope to see, want to see, think we will see. But before we get into that, we want to very briefly talk about our progression. And I'm only shoehorning this in here because we are both on the giant enemy crab, Halandris. The most important boss of the tier. How is early Halandris prog going for you guys and Ob?
Short pulse, I'll say right now. We basically got a solid 3 hours on Thursday on it, and it was over quickly, I'll say. lots of like just before even the transition phase wipes, and even in the transition having. Not like I think we've only made it through the transition cleanly, like 3 out of 44 attempts we're on right now. And then quickly wiped in P2. So no, it's been fun so far. A lot of our wipes are to like either orbs hitting or to just the bomb. Really the bomb passing has been the biggest thing. Sort of getting that timing right has been somewhat difficult. Not difficult, but just like learning it. And also, like, we've been adjusting. I don't know if you guys have gone through this, but we've been adjusting positioning lately. We went in with sort of, like, a general spread. And then as we saw the fight more and more, we've noticed that there's certain areas of the boss encounter that just get more orbs than others.
Like, yes.
And it's very consistent. So we've sort of, as we've gone through, adjusted positioning. Like, we've moved healers. So, like, you know, we've sort of stacked healers in certain areas where there's going to be more going on. And sort of adjusted where like certain of our past groups sit. So, but it hasn't been bad. I mean, it is definitely, I will say like right now, it's definitely a little bit more frustrating than Painsmith, which I think is like an analogous boss in terms of like where it sits, just because the wipes are so immediate and so jarring that like, there's not a, like at least with Painsmith, you like make a bad move and you die or like a couple people die and you're like, we can't make it, but let's sort of practice it a little bit further. With Halandris, it's like you miss an orb or you miss a bomb and
the whole raid's dead.
You're just dead. Yeah. So yeah. We've been like messing around with using Harrow or Bloodlust in P1 just to see more of P2. So that's
what we did for a lot of our night. Yeah.
Yeah, just to sort of see that second transition and see like the second orb group picking up stuff and doing the passing and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's been not too bad so far. It's still really, I mean, it's been what, 44 pulls. So judging by the average, which is like what, like 100, 150 or so.
Let me pull that up. I actually have numbers on that. Pardon my light mode.
That's my finger like in the air trying to gauge it, but it seems like it's 100, 150 pull. Boss,
yeah, so it is 157 to 196 is like half of everybody spends that long on this boss. And I like pull count kind of hard to judge off of because of the quick wipes. you can have a lot of quick wipes in a very short amount of time. So in terms of actual like hours spent, it's like 13 to 18. Which like my guild does 4 hour raid nights. So that is, you know, roughly 3 to 5 raid nights. That kind of ballpark. So we got to spend all of Sunday on it. We actually had close to an hour on Friday as well. We had not killed Lyhuvim week before this one. It was the worst kind of like boss kill, because we came in, there was no like extra gear or nerfs or anything. We just came in and like killed it in 4 pulls. If we had just executed like that last week, we would have gotten the kill last week. And that's all it really came down to, is just executing, in particular, the stacks on Lyhuvim have been better. But then we got onto Halandris, and I love this boss. This boss is so much fun to tank. I'm getting to play my Paladin on it as well. So this is my token Paladin, prog fight for the tier. I get 0 to 1 of those. But we're about 80 pulls in. We have seen actually a good number of phase 2 pulls now. It definitely, like, there's that initial learning curve where you don't see a lot of phase 2, it seems like. Yeah. But then once you start getting that figured out and you get your transition figured out, you get to start getting into phase 2 and people pick up their bombs and all of that. It's a fun fight. I really, really like this. It's definitely... The main tank mechanic of the fight is more challenging on a Paladin than on a Monk, I will say. Because there's what you got to do is you got to point the beam, the light shatter beam that goes on the tank, at a caged orb in order to break the cage so that it can be interacted with by the rest of the raid. And on Heroic, you have to basically do this with 50% accuracy. You have to get half of the beams onto an orb. On Mythic, you have to get 100%. And if you ever miss any of them, there's a very slim chance that you'll be able to recover if, like, people get enough slows in front of it, and then either you push the boss to the next phase before it hits, or you get another orb that spawns on top of it. But if you miss one, it's basically a wipe, which is, like, very high pressure, but also it's just very fun to do. And then I get to push Wog just a huge amount in the intermission.
Yes. Yeah, the intermission healing is intense to say the least. So yeah, no, it's that's awesome. Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it fun just yet, because it's very stressful as a healer. Like,
I'm having a great time.
It's fair. So, that's fair.
I don't know if you're gonna have a great time on it or not, but I am having a great time.
I have one question for you, which is that we are pushing the phase one transition without. If we do it without heroism or bloodlust, we do it right after. So we go through the reclaim, because we're not able to skip that just yet. And then we basically are pushing the boss right as that next set of missiles come out. So I don't know if you're, and like, it's consistent where, like, no matter what we do to push a little bit sooner,
are you running?
4.
Okay. We're also running 4. We have been slightly inconsistent. We were going to tell people, we had started off telling people don't use consumables yet, because we're going to wipe a lot, like 30 seconds in, and it's just going to be a waste of gold.
Yeah.
Once we started making it through the reclaim consistently, we were like, okay, start using potions and things to make sure we beat that set of Earthbreaker missiles. And we're still not totally consistent about it. Like, we're beating it maybe 70% of the time right now. And then the other 30%, like, it's usually somebody dying. Somebody dies and then we don't make the push.
That's basically what we have. Or, like, we've also seen, like, just people start yelling about orb pickups, like, being bomb pickups. And so, like, that, I think, distracts a couple people. And, we're at that cusp of, like, we're, like, two, three seconds away of, like, we either hit that or we don't. And it's all because of, like, something that happens maybe even on the pull, right? So...
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that I think with an extra round of vault loot and an extra round of farm loot, we should be more consistent, you know?
Yeah.
We'll be at that like 95% instead of 70% from the extra like 1 to 2 seconds it takes off of our push time. It's tight. It's tight.
Yeah, that's the one thing we got to get over. But cool. No, I think we'll be talking about Hollanders for probably the next 2-3 weeks for each of us in terms of just like putting in the time. So no, it'll be fun. Well, cool. I guess, I mean, we weren't going to do either a recap this week. I think we're just going to spend all of our time sort of focused in on predictions for next week. So okay. I don't know if you want to, if you want to kick it off or talk about.
I want to get one thing out of the way. So we've got the leaks. I think we already talked about them on the podcast. For WoW Dragonflight, there's a bunch of, it's a picture of some high quality posters. It looks real. We're basically both expecting that that is real, right?
Yeah.
So there's not a, we're not going to be predicting a void expansion or anything like that, like, or a void versus light expansion or anything like that. Maybe that's, you know, like BFA was a sneaky void expansion. Or a sneaky old god expansion, maybe something like that happens, but we're expecting dragons tomorrow.
Yes.
So I guess first off, before everything else, when do you think this expansion is coming out? When do you think they're announcing that it's going to be released?
So I think they're going to announce a general date tomorrow, and I think it's Q1 2023. So I think it's basically going to be a year from now. I don't think they pull it in any sooner than that, but I do think they give us a range date tomorrow, like a date range.
Yeah. I could see a Christmas release. So I could see end of 2022. So similar to Shadowlands launch timeframe, maybe a little bit later. Okay. And then having, you know, raid stuff come out 2023, or just being beginning of 2023, you know, like January timeframe is when I think they would aim for. But I do think they're going to try and hit it sooner than a year from now. You know, we're in April. Technically, I think we've ticked over into Q2 at this point. Q1 is usually like January through March.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But, I think they would aim for the end of Q4, beginning of Q1 instead of the end of Q1. And maybe that's not realistic. And I don't know, but that's my prediction, is that we're going to see like a Christmas 2022, like lettering on this announcement video.
Yeah. So sort of leading into that, cause my other prediction here, that kind of deals with the whole release date, is that there's not going to announce a beta alpha date at this time either.
Yeah.
And but see, the problem is, for it to be Q4 2022, they need alpha now. Like, they've never released an expansion shorter than, I think the shortest ever run was like 10 months from announcement to launch, 11 months from announcement to launch, something like that. So like, you need at least 6 months of like full on alpha up, or even beta up, right? In terms of testing. And like, if it doesn't come out now, there's no way.
Alpha in June would be 6 months. And alpha in June is far enough out that they may not announce the date yet.
True. That's fair. But I think even doing a June, like even doing alpha in June and then release end of this year, I think it's just, knowing how long it's taken them to do releases, like in the current like patches, I feel like trying to get an entire expansion out in less time is going to be tough for them. So,
on the other hand, I do think we will actually get a release date, or an announced release date, for season 4 of Shadowlands, which is not strictly speaking expansion news, but I think it will be kind of part of it. Like, I could see them doing kind of what you predicted of a late Q1 2023 and trying to mollify the audience by saying, but season 4 is coming out, you know, beginning of Q3 2022 or end of Q2 2022. I do think we are going to see season 4 start earlier than a typical patch cycle for Shadowlands. Like, we've had like 9-month patches. I think they're going to go for more of like a 5 to 6 month patch, but then allow you to get cutting edge for Sepulchre until 10.0. So we might see like a minor eye level bump for season 4, but then they're going to just let you continue to get cutting edge because it won't be trivialized by gear. Like something like, right, especially, you know, stuff like Helandris is not going to be trivialized by gear unless it scales to the point, you know, that you can just skip all of the reclaims or something.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see that much, but yeah, no, I can see an announced date for season 4 for sure during this. I think that makes the most sense.
Zajai in chat says they may also announce Classic Wrath to sort of smooth it over a bit, which is not going to land with all of the retail audience, but yeah, I would actually not be surprised to see I expect a Classic Wrath announcement tomorrow. Yeah. I expect release date for Classic Sunwell Plateau, rough release date for Classic Wrath of the Lich King. All the classic.
That's fair. Things.
We just got the Sunwell Plateau
PTR
on Friday, which was my Friday afternoon. That was fun. On the classic side, I do think there's a lot of retail players, so they're going to be 100% uninterested in Classic Wrath of the Lich King. And so, yeah, you know, they need something for that audience, and I think season 4 is that.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I mean, I didn't do many predictions for a classic, but I can see, yeah, Wrath being sort of a part of that. So yeah, to be fair, I talk about classic being cool, but like every time I go back, it's like, I don't really want to relive.
My rogue is up to level 55 now, whole 4 levels.
My shaman has not been logged into since we probably last talked about this. So
classic.
Yeah, so cool. So I think that's it. I think from like I call these like the admin predictions of like when stuff's going to be released, what they might talk about in terms of like dates. So now into like more maybe the content stuff. And so we're sort of all centered on the fact that like dragons are probably going to be the theme of this expansion, right? Yep. So in that regard, like I think they're going to reuse a concept of like covenants, but call them dragon flights, right? And the idea of having various like dragon flights be able to like align with those. However, I think they won't be as restrictive as covenants is sort of my feedback, where like they're more just either cosmetic or like they are the secondary abilities are different, mm-hmm. but like you can pick any of maybe the primary. Like, so like in our regard, like you could pick between Fallen Order and Bone Dust Brew and Weapons of Order, being any one of the Dragon Flights or any one of the Covenants in that regard. But like your secondary ability is like hard locked to that Dragon Flight.
Yeah.
So like you'd only have Soul Shape if you were Night Fae, for example.
Right. I do think we are going to see Dragon Flights as Covenants version 2. I 100% expect that. I don't think we're going to see them tying abilities to them at all. I think it's going to be more like the Legion Order Halls, where like obviously there is player power stuff tied to the artifacts, which was technically kind of tied to the Order Hall, but not really. I think it's going to be primarily story and cosmetic stuff. And I actually would not be surprised to see them plant the flag again. Actually, no, I don't think they'd be insane enough to do that twice in a row, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them actually be more restrictive than covenants are in 9.25 because of them being story and cosmetic only. There was a complaint about the order halls in Legion about how you had to have like 12 characters to see all of the story content in Legion, which I think is fair.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, said, you know, you can swap, but it's something where you can't swap freely, you know, you can swap, but it requires a currency that you have to get, or it resets, you know, they can literally just tie a reputation to it. And when you swap covenants or swap dragon flights, it like gives you a reputation penalty, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Or just like a cooldown, like you can do it once a week.
Yeah.
Right. Like similar to like, because one of the original like swap, right, wasn't the original swap like a cooldown based thing where you could do it like,
yeah,
or you could do it like it was tied to doing content, but you could do it like once a week and like you needed a full week to swap back and forth. So
yeah, you needed 2 weeks, but it was like,
oh yeah,
you started the one quest, you completed it, then you took the next quest the next week, and then you could swap. So it is functionally 1 week, but it required 2 weeks of work.
Yeah, at least, yeah, you had to go through one reset. Yeah, without it.
Yeah.
Swap, yeah. Yeah, which makes, I mean, I can see that being like some, like making them more restrictive in that regard. That's fair. I still think they want some sort of like ability tied to these dragon flights. But I definitely think we re-see Covenant 2.0.
I mean, I guess, let me walk back what I said about no abilities just slightly. I think we will see some kind of cosmetic abilities. Mm-hmm. Maybe some minor emphasis on the minor interactions in dungeons. Minor. Nothing like this.
You don't have banners or like urns you can open and like as a vent there.
Nothing that is like, actually banners are fairly minor. The banners in Theater of Pain are pretty minor. Nothing like the urns, nothing like the checkpoints in Mists, you know, nothing like the oozes in Plaguefall. Or the spears in, like, there's just so many of these that are just completely route defining and you have to have one or it's awful. But more like the, you remember the archaeology things in Legion? Or in, in Cataclysm that nobody used because you wanted to save your relics to reroll stuff into the stupid Silithus archaeology to try and get the bug mount? Yeah. Yep. Stuff like that, just minor things, little interactions, maybe
those are like small buffs, right, while you were in the dungeon.
They were small buffs,
yeah,
you know, or maybe little things like you can imagine nothing that gives a skip, but like maybe there's a point where if you're a member of the Red Dragonflight, it gives you a speed boost through an area. Nothing that's going to make or break a key. But, you know, it's like, hey, we've got a, you know, we've got somebody from the Red Dragonflight. We can move through this area more quickly. Nothing that's going to let you skip. Again, nothing that lets you skip. Nothing that, like, lets you do a pull that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. Just right. Some little neat, mostly cosmetic effects, RP interactions, like the, what is that you hold, Druid from Darkheart Thicket? Stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. I'd be down for that. Well, cool. Yeah, I think, I mean, that would be interesting. I still think the build, like for me personally, like my prediction is that those abilities will be slightly more impactful. So like there'll be something that you technically will use beyond just like minor cosmetic things. However, I don't think there'll be a large amount. Like it won't be as impactful as like the main ability from a Covenant, but I think it'll still be like a Soul Shape or like Dwarf Shadows type ability, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, cool. Well, let's go maybe into the next prediction, which is more around like the zones and content and things like that. So so I have here as my prediction is we're going to see 5 new zones on a new continent, which I think is not out of the ordinary, but I don't think we're going to get a Cataclysm-like rework and then zone scattered. I think it'll be its own separate thing continent-wise. I think the Cataclysm thing is is they're never going to go back to something like that. So I think it'll be its own little self-contained area.
What I could see is as part of patch content being like, okay, this zone is relevant to the story. It's getting an update to the quests. And just one by one, Chromie time kind of thing. They're never removing old questing content again. They're never doing.
Yeah. But never, you know, another Cataclysm full rework.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know how like Blasted Lands has like 2 different versions of it, and things like that. So you can use Chromie time, keep the old one around, have the new one available as well, and give some fresher leveling content for lower level stuff in like small bites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Do you question? Do we get this is always a fun one. Do we get a common capital city? Or do you think we'll have a Horde versus Alliance one?
Ooh. So they've been on and off. It's almost literally been on, off the whole time. Actually, no, it's not. Because we had, obviously, Vanilla. Then we had Shattrath, which was common. Then we had Dalaran, which was common. Then we went back to Stormwind and Orgrimmar. Yep. Then we had the 2 split ones in Vale of Eternal Blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had our garrisons.
Yep.
And then we had Dalaran again, then split again, then Ouroboros. So I don't know. I'm going to say we split again.
So this sort of feeds into a different prediction, which I don't know if we want to talk about here, but I think it's going to be a common one. I think we're going to get a common capital city.
Yeah, is it going to be Dalaran again?
I don't think so. I think it'll be something new. But but yeah, I think it'll be a common capital city in terms of that piece. So, sorry, I just sort of thought of that when I was thinking about zones. I was like, huh, I wonder if we'll like one main area or, yeah. But what about zone? I mean, do you think we're gonna get, because we got what we have technically?
I think it's gonna be in the five to six zone range. That's gotcha, pretty common. Like Legion had five, right? Or kind of five. It had Stormar, which was a max level zone, really.
But yeah, so I'd call that four level zones
plus one. Yeah. And then BFA had six. We had technically five, but one was the Maw for Shadowlands. So I think five to six is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, no, that's fair. All right, cool. All right, next up, if you want to move on a little bit, is we have I'm predicting a new class. So I'm basing this one off of just a lot of the leaks, but I think we end up with a new healer / DPS class. It's been a while since our last new class.
You have Leatherwearer on here. I would be shocked if we get another Leatherwearer.
I did call it as Leatherwearer, yeah.
Yeah, no way. No way. It's going to be plate or it's going to be mail. They're not doing another Leatherwearer. It would be...
Okay.
There's no way they do yet another leather class. There are so many leather classes in the game.
I know, which is why I think it's a very Blizzard thing to do. Just be idiots about it, about the armor.
Oh, you're not totally wrong.
But no, I think we're gonna get like a healer DPS type off spec. I'm not gonna say, because I think Invoker has been thrown around and there's like Tinker or two, stuff like that. But I think it'll end up being a leather where healer DPS. I don't think it's a tank. I think that's my prediction.
They still have not refined a good mechanical identity for Vengeance. So I would really like them to not have another tank right now. They need to fix Vengeance first.
Yeah.
And
Mistweaver is actually getting good. So I figured they need to cannibalize a bunch of stuff for a new class out of Mistweaver and put it in the new class, make it better, and then kill Mistweaver once again. So, again,
Zajai in chat says they have added exactly zero new classes that don't have a tank spec. And he's right, but also the reason for that is partially because initially there were three tank classes at most. There were Druid, Paladin, and Warrior. Yeah. Whereas even back then there were five healer specs.
Once
they
started,
like they had Disc and Holy, they had Restoration Druids and Shaman, and Holy Paladins. And so there's just always been fewer tanks up until, you know, Legion, where they equaled out at six each.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But what you're calling for, which I think is interesting, I don't know if you want to read your prediction around.
No new class, no new specs. We are going to get either or both a new talent row. Okay. Or a talent overhaul, like a system talent overhaul, like we got in MOP, that just changes how talents work on a broad level. So my reason for this is, well, there's a little bit of like hopium in here, right? Of just like, they've seemed to be actually receiving player input for once, right?
Right.
And one of the big pieces of player input is, like, all these borrowed power systems are not making up for the fact that the base talents are just bad in a lot of cases. There's a lot of classes that have one talent build that they use 100% of the time in all scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's a problem. So that's where there's another common complaint, which I don't think is that big of a deal, but of not getting a new talent row since, what, Legion?
Yeah. That would be interesting, I'd say. I don't know if I particularly agree. Like, yeah. But I mean, it doesn't seem far-fetched, I'll say. But I don't think, I don't know. I think they're going to, for me, around talents, is they'll make changes to existing talents. I think they always will. But I think it'll stay similar format, similar system, like with nothing new. It's just like, if they make a base change to a class just from like a talent, like a class rework, they'll change the talents associated to it, right? Like maybe bake some of the talents currently into like the base class and create new ones, you know. But I don't think we'll see, at least prediction wise, I don't think we'll see a fundamental change.
But it would be fun. Actually kind of ties to an overarching prediction that I'm going to come back to a few times. I think that they are going to, in a lot of ways, have this, like, pitch this expansion as being like an anti-Shadowlands or anti-BFA. It's going to be not, it's going to be deliberately emphasizing older WoW concepts like talents, and older WoW story beats like the dragons. It's not going to be, it's not going to be new systems. It's going to be, here's the old systems. Here's what we're doing to add on to them. You know, here's things to be excited about. There's going to be, I think, elements of the new stuff, right? Elements of the new stuff, like Dragonflights as Covenants, which they may not even use the word, like they won't use the word Covenant.
Yeah.
They won't. But they may pitch it as like a classic style rep, you know?
Yeah.
You know, game reputations with the Dragon factions. And So I do think one of the things, I don't think they're going to say this. They said this as part of the Shadowlands announcements, which was hilarious. But I don't think they're going to say this. I think you've got this one right, though. No AP of any kind. Like, not anima power, not artifact power.
Aspect not, power.
Yeah, nothing like that. I do think your prediction there is 100% spot on. They're just not going to have anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, and the reason I think here is that, so my hope is, and if they do this, I think it'll just be done to death. But like, we've now had three straight expansions with like a very similar end game progression, right? Of like taking some item that's super important, infusing it, and then throwing it away at the end, essentially.
Yep.
Or like using it to defeat the big bad at the end, right? And so like in that regard, I agree with you in saying like sort of a lot of the they're proposing is potentially like anti what they've been doing the couple of expansions. But I just don't think AP, I think they've reached the limit there, and like maybe we end up with something similar to like I disagree with what I'm about to say, just even thinking about it. But yeah, no, I agree. Like no AP. Like my prediction, none.
I could see, like we've had AP kind of, or anima power kind of things before. They're called currencies. We used to collect them to do things with reputations. So that would not surprise me if we get into 10.0 alpha and there's reputations with the four dragon flights and you can get currencies for those dragon flights that let you buy cosmetic items from a reputation vendor.
Yeah.
But I think they are going to actually be deliberate to disassociate it from artifact, anima, you know, whatever, Azerite power. There's not going to be an AP acronym anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree there. All right, well, this next one, at least for me, and this probably ties into a bunch of other stuff I think talked about. So you have like your theme of like very anti-Shadowlands, right? My theme here, and it's probably a lot aligns slightly with you, is that I think they're going to revamp a lot of old content and start to reuse it. So like in my mind, like
same page.
Yeah, like this sort of season 4 thing, I think is a precursor to the idea that like moving forward as a part of any new season or any sort of seasonal thing, like they're going to bring something back from like the past and bring it forward, which I think is something they sort of, a lot of players are always sort of a little bit confused about, is that they basically throw stuff out at the end of any expansion, and like bringing something back, even if it's bad for a couple months, is still better than like, you know, what we get. And I think it'll be a more permanent aspect of it. So my prediction is sort of similar to time walking, but making it a more permanent fixture within that season. So like the idea of like bringing back like maybe an old raid fight or handful of raid bosses from a raid, not a full raid, but like handful of raid bosses from a raid, make it slightly challenging, change it slightly, and then give like equal level rewards, like heroic type level rewards or something like that. Right.
Yeah. I have this in my predictions as well. I think the 0.5 patches are going to have an old raid that is tuned up that's going to be a kind of like catch up gear thing. Next expansion. And I mean, some of this is maybe going to depend. Like, I don't think they're going to announce that tomorrow. I'm sorry. I don't think they're going to announce it tomorrow. But I'm hopeful. Maybe they could. I could see it.
I think they announced the idea of it. Maybe not to the specificity of saying like every 0.5 patch will get a new raid, but I can see them talking about like, oh, and you get to like Chromie time because of the Brown's Dragonflight back in and like refight like Illidan. Like, you know what I mean? I also think just from my perspective, I don't think they bring back full raids. I think it ends up being a selection of fights. And the primary reason is I think if they bring back full raids, it's too much in terms of content. Like the idea would be is like with your guild, if you're a raiding guild, you're going to progress with the current content, of course. But then if you also have like all of, I don't know, like it's a huge raid, but like all of Throne of Thunder to revisit and go back through. That's 13 bosses to potentially learn that aren't generally going to be pushovers, right? So I can see them doing like a very targeted, like this season is Throne of Thunder and it's like Hordon, Jikun, and like Lei Shen, right?
Yeah.
Or it's
the
like.
The other way they could do this is staggered releases of like the wings, right? You know,
that's true too. Yeah.
Patch 1.0 or 10.0 has the first wing. Patch, you know, 10.0.5 has a second wing. 10.1 has the third, 10.1.5 has the fourth, you know, and so on. And then 10.2 has another raid, you know, then they have this little bit of staggered content that kind of screws with power progression in some ways, I think. But I could see that. The other thing I could see is that just them not releasing a mythic mode for these or having the mythic mode be like eye level synced or something. So there's no gear progression to it. So then it's just like the heroic mode is catch up gear.
Exactly.
And then the mythic mode is like, you know, cosmetics. And then they only have a couple of mythic fights, but then they have the whole thing available in heroic, you know. So like if you take like Nighthold as an example, they could have the whole thing available in heroic mode. And then in mythic mode, they take the highlights from the tier. You know, they take Gul'dan, they take Elisande. I don't even know what else you would take.
Star Augur. You take Star Augur.
Obviously you have to take Star Augur, I guess.
Yeah.
You just got to. And they just eye level sync it. You go in, your eye level is capped. That's what your power level is for doing that fight. And you get some cosmetic items from doing it.
Yeah. No, I think, I talked much, like, I think raids like the big idea in this case, but I think they still continue to like bring back old dungeons into like the Mythic Plus pool. Which
I know you have some predictions about dungeon design, but I also like, I think we're going to get like in season 4 of Shadowlands, we're going to have old dungeons from, you know, WoD, Legion and BFA present in the Mythic Plus pool. I think they're going to continue that. I think we're going to see season 1 of the next expansion is just going to be new dungeons. They want people to focus on the new dungeons for that season. But then every season after that is going to be, you know, we're going to take 4 or 6 or 8 you know, old dungeons, we're going to add them to the pool. They're going to drop relevant loot. They're going to be available the whole season, unlike this Legion Mythic Plus nonsense. That's going to be the way they go work going forward.
I think I don't know if it ends up being like more, like my prediction might be maybe not 4, 6, or 8. It might be like 2 or 3, like maybe 2 dungeons are like time, quote unquote, time walking dungeons for the season.
Right.
And they trade out like, cause I think 8 dungeons is a very good Mythic Plus number in terms of like spread. So the idea if they keep that number like 8 or so dungeons available to do Mythic Plus in and like 6 are current and 2 are old, right? I think that's a nice balance.
I feel like 8's a little bit low. Like if you think about Legion, by the end of Legion, like we started with 8 dungeons in Legion.
And they added
3. Then we added the 2 Karazhan dungeons, Cathedral and Seat.
Also 4.
So we ended up with 12. Now, obviously, nobody ran Seat, so we kind of only gained 3. So
that's true. That's fair. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, they could go higher. I could see that. And maybe it's and like the 8 base, like the ace expense.
8 plus 4 kind of thing.
Yeah, I could see that, actually. And now that you describe it that way, I could see that. Yeah, and then, like, I guess so. I think, this whole time-walking experiment in Season 4 continues forward as sort of a time-walking Yeah, at least after the point after the launch patch, I think it's something. I think you're right. At least launch wise, it'll be just the current content. And the other thing too is I think for dungeon design, I think it ends up being slightly more open I think a lot of dungeons today are very much designed linear. With Mythic Plus involved in mind and very linear. And yeah. I think they should get back to more like story driven dungeons and then layer Mythic Plus into it. Just because the dungeons are fun, I think they're the most fun when there's like multiple different ways to do things, or like multiple like yeah. little skips, and like, you know, you have different yeah. ways of like attack, like going after a dungeon, even though everything eventually gets figured out and there's always going to be that one route. It's at least
right.
It's not like what dungeon was it, King's Rest in BFA, King's where it's like literally old forward through the entire thing. Yeah. And like,
yeah,
that was don't ever do that again. Right. Or yeah.
That was the worst. Yeah, or if you're going to do it, put the shit loot in that dungeon so we don't have to run it. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. So, or just don't make a boss mob right before the actual end boss.
Yeah. We do have, so a lot of the Shadowlands dungeons have this kind of repeating diamond pattern to them, where you have yeah. you have a starting point, you have two branches, or in some cases three branches, and then all those converge at the boss, and you have another set of branching paths, and that converges at the boss. And some of those branching paths are only present if you have Shroud and things like that, which is yeah. a little bit eh. But and some of them are really samey. Like if you look at right before the final boss of Spires of Ascension, like technically you could go left or you could go right, except they're identical, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right. There's a lot of like press. They skewed maybe a little bit too much towards the linearity. Mm-hmm. Where like Plaguefall is a good example of one where it has these branching path things I'm talking about like twice. But it doesn't really matter because people just figure out that going right is easier. And so they just go yeah. right the whole expansion. And so yeah, it's effectively linear.
Yeah, which I think is, I mean, I don't mind that. Like that, I'm not talking, I think Plaguefall is a good example of something where it's like there's different mobs, slightly different pathways. It is fairly linear, but like it opens up a little bit after the yeah. second boss, right?
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of different stuff you can do there. But like what I want to get away from is like the King's Rest, even like the, what was the other dungeon I was thinking of?
The other side is actually pretty open.
Yeah, the other side's another really good example.
It's like a freehold, but it's pretty open. You can do Ardenweald first and then go all the way over to Hakkar and then go do Mechagon. Like there's multiple different linear pieces, but like Ardenweald itself is very open. Hakkar is linear, and Mechagon is linear as well, but you can do them in different orders, and that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean,
I don't want them to go back to the days of like Maradon and stuff like that, where it's just like a maze.
No, I
want to
get lost. I want to get lost.
Like, I don't
want
to run keys.
I want BRD back.
The major challenge of timing the key is not having your healer get lost.
Oh, no, I want BRD. I want like BRD Mythic Plus levels of like complexity, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's on dungeons. I mean, I think the time walking thing will be cool. I think that'll be like one of the major features for sure, from a prediction perspective. All right, so here's a one that I actually have two predictions around this, and one's my like what I think is going to happen, and the other is my what I want to happen. Around
let's get them both. Let's get them both.
All right, so it's around legendaries, and I think they're going to continue this concept of keeping legendaries around. I don't know if they'll call them legendaries, but it's basically like gear that you craft mm-hmm. or work towards that's ultra powerful and adds a bonus effect to your character. Right. I think that still occurs. I actually hate it. I think it's stupid. It's dumb. It's like, it's a locked in piece that you're not going to own. What I want is I want quest legendaries back. I want things like the rogue daggers. I want Antiche. I want, what was the Wrath of Lich King?
Shadowmourne. There was the healer
Valinir.
Valinir,
something like that. Like that's what I want back in terms of like just items, right? I think that's so cool. I think that's much cooler than everybody getting everything. I know it sucks as like an individual player, but I think the one thing that WoW has lost over the years is like the ability to look at someone and realize like they have something that you want to work towards, right? Yeah. And I think that's the one thing that like, and maybe I'm just too old to like, and this isn't the way games are played anymore, right? But like to me, I'm always more interested, like, even if I don't play WoW, like, if I think about other games I play that are multiplayer, like, I'm always interested in, like, where'd they get this skin? Like, where'd they get that weapon? Or where'd they get this cool, like, Rocket League car skin? And I'm like, how'd they do it? Or in I've been playing a lot of Fortnite lately. But, like, where'd they get
the... $500 worth of loot boxes in them.
Yeah, but in the context of WoW, it's nice to, like, see things that are cool and then figure out how to get them and then maybe work towards it, right? Like, outside of... Right. I don't want loot boxes in WoW, but, like, I think that's the idea that I want. So I think my safe prediction is we'll get another legendary type thing. I think my off the wall thing that I like wish list type item would be like a quest based legendary that's limited in terms of the number of people that will get it at the end of an expansion. So
okay I would be shocked if we get that.
So will I. I mean,
yeah, I mean, as like a guild leader, it sounds miserable. It sounds absolutely miserable. Like, especially if it's something where it can go to multiple different specs and you start working towards it on, like, you know, your demonology warlock, and then demonology gets trash canned and suddenly it's best for an arcane mage. And then you're like, well, you're not going to take your 3/4 complete legendary from the warlock and put it on the arcane mage and start from scratch. You're going to finish it on the warlock and then start on the mage.
Like, yeah, I guess this to be fair, like, my idea is the exact opposite expectation of, like, wanting to play more than one class, right? Like, like, the idea of, like, also being able to quickly reroll or play something new patch to patch is totally thrown out the window with something like this. So I still want it though.
So kind of a different take on this for me, a little bit in somewhere between, like, I expect this to happen and wishlist item. I think we're going to get a new artifact. I think it's going to be instead of legendaries. It's, when I say artifact, I don't mean like the Heart of Azeroth. I don't even really mean, like, there's no artifact power. So not the same kind of like tree thing from Legion.
Okay.
But we get an artifact and you use this artifact to unlock your legendaries effectively. This artifact, similar to essences from BFA, is what your legendary is, basically. And then when you want to switch legendaries, you go into your artifact and you switch the effect that it's got. And you unlock these legendary powers by doing things like completing the story quests associated with your chosen dragonflight.
That would be interesting. I feel like, though, like, you need, like, I don't know, to make something like that be meaningful. I don't know.
Yeah, like, so answer is, like, maybe you unlock these legendary powers in a deterministic targetable way. And I'm like, that's exactly what I just described. Is like, you have your legendary, you do your story quest, or your artifact, you do your story quest. You at the end of your story quest, you get a big pop-up on your screen. It's like, you know, power unlocked, and it's this new option in your legendary. And then, you know, maybe at the end of it all, it gives you, like, you know, additional power unlocked, and you get to pick two of them at the same time, you know. And it to your point, maybe doesn't lock two different slots of gear that change depending on which ones you're using. Maybe it's just like, you know, the last time we dealt with a dragon, we got a legendary cloak.
That's true. What if, so I read, I know I made a bunch of predictions and I didn't want to pull anything else in, but I read something interesting, which was, and it, maybe it's aligned to this, where, like, what if you got a buddy, kind of like Popoko from Xerath Mortis and Soulbinds from Covenants, that you would, like, level up. And maybe this is another part of that sort of buddy system where, like, you have these, like, artifact abilities, which are generally just, like, legendary type abilities that you can slot into your little companion, and they, like, empower you in battle, right? Like, and as a part of the story, you, like, have a dragon buddy that you, like, you become BFFs with. And, like, the more you do with that dragon buddy, the more you become a BFF with them, and, like, they unlock more things for you to do, or, like, they can imbue more of their power into you. Maybe that's how they do it.
Soulbinds, I would hope they don't come back.
I can't wait till they bring back Soulbinds again in this form and fashion. And like, oh, but then you can customize your buddy?
No, no.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll do something with like legendaries, and maybe it won't be particularly like gear slot locked, which is the one thing I hate, is like, I hate knowing that like,
yeah,
I never, like, I have not needed to loot a pair of bracers all expansion.
Okay, and so, like, first off, nobody cares about bracers or them.
I'm just saying.
Nobody cares about bracers at NOM.
That's whatever. Whatever. I mean, fair.
So prior to about 2 weeks ago, I would have said that I expect them to bring back exactly the same system that they had in Shadowlands, or like in, you know, in 9.2, mm-hmm. where you just craft your legendary. It's insanely expensive. Yada, yada, yada. Until the Morgan Day interview happened and they hotfixed this item into the game that lets you craft like pretty high eye level legendaries very cheaply, like
right,
very yeah. cheaply. So you can now get like a 250 or something legendary for like 2,000 gold, 5,000 gold. Super, super, super inexpensive.
Right.
And that was the moment where I was like, oh, okay. Maybe they are actually paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And then maybe, I mean, and that's why I think your idea makes sense of like it not being something like you work towards, and it being like a non piece of gear you craft for this. So, I can see it. I can see that being a thing. I just don't want item based legendaries back. I personally, it's a system that I don't like, and I think it's probably okay. just that Mistweaver legendaries have never been cool or interesting.
Yeah
like yeah. in any expansion where they've done legendaries, the Mistweaver ones have just been terrible. So
yep,
maybe if they made a cool one, I'd care more. We'll go that way. So
Fair enough.
All right, cool. I guess this is an easy one. I'm going to skip. So looking at our list, I'm going to skip the next one for a second. But the final one here is that speaking of opening tier, I don't think we'll get tier sets the first raid tier. But this
they
does
did
go
this
to
in Legion.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
But this does bring up a question that somebody mentioned in chat. I'm going to forget their name and I'm going to quickly scroll and stall while we look at. I can't find the person. But they ask if, what about dungeon tier sets? So the idea of, so this was like a classic thing where like there was like the tier 0.5, they called it.
Right.
It would be the biggest problem I see with this, and this is sort of a way Blizzard does progression, is that doing dungeon tier sets, while cool, they'd have to find a way to upgrade it over the course of the expansion. And so it would not be as impactful. Like, they couldn't make them as powerful as like raid things, and they wouldn't want to change them patch to patch, right? You get like a static like dungeon set bonus, and you might end up with a situation where if it's really good, you just wear the same gear the entire expansion. If it's not as good, right?
Yeah, I don't think that we are going to see dungeon tier sets, because they're just going to give us raid tier sets from the dungeons like they did this patch.
Yeah, when they're launched. Yeah, I was just thinking for like an opening patch, rather than doing tier sets out of a raid, do they do something that's more like dungeon?
I mean, I could see them doing like a minor tier set or something for the first patch, maybe. You know,
I also could see them, rather than dropping exclusively from raid, like doing a hybrid. But then it's just a tier set, so why does it matter? Yeah, you're right. They don't put tier sets in.
I don't.
Yeah. Because of the way that Mythic Plus and raids interact now, from like a gearing perspective, there's no, they're supposed to reward similar rewards, right? So there's no incentive of doing a dungeon versus a raid. So
yeah, so part of the reason that they didn't do tier sets the first tier of Legion was to give people time to experience the revamped classes and the new artifact stuff and things like that. So it was going to be, your class was going to feel new and fresh, even if you didn't have a tier set to liven things up.
Yeah.
So I guess on that note, you think we're going to get big class revamps going into 10.0?
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, so when you say we, like, I think there will be class revamps. Monk, though, in particular, I don't think we see it. And as sad as it is to say that, like, speaking as a Mistweaver, I'd like certain abilities to be removed from the game and then them to Essence use that Font. Design space to do something different. Essence Font yes. being the one I'm pretty vocal about. But no, I think we end up with very simple, like, if I think about the classes and the way that they work today, I think we continue with very similar abilities, right? Like, I don't see yeah. Brewmaster getting a, like, because the way that I look at large revamp is I look at, like, Dispriests going into Legion, right? I look at Warlocks from a demonology perspective and that one changing massively. I think that those are, like, the two best examples of, like, a class leaving one expansion and playing wildly different the next expansion, right? And so I don't think we see that with any of the three monk specs. Like, I think Brewmaster still centered around Stagger, you know, brews yeah. and things like that. I think Windwalker still is very much the Ceph, you know, very strong AoE, limited single yeah. target, right? And Mistweaver, I think, stays as the throughput healer they are with our power centered around Essence Font and a little bit of damage. I mean, I think, yeah, from a Mistweaver perspective, I'd like to see them kill Upwelling and kill any sort of, like, basically requiring you to be in melee to heal. Like, one design goal I think they should have is you have to hit Rising Sun Kick once every 12 seconds at least as a Mistweaver, or you just do no healing. Like, make that a requirement so I can stop having people ping me and post things everywhere in peak and on my YouTube channel, like the comments about, why don't you do a ranged Mistweaver guide? Terrible way to play the class. But no, I in all seriousness, I think prediction-wise, I think we see major class revamps. I just don't think it's a monk.
On the one hand, I would be a little bit surprised to see them remove another ranged healer effectively. Like, saying Mistweaver has to be melee means there's one fewer healer that can be ranged. Except right now, you can't really play ranged Mistweaver anyway.
But Emilson, you can't play ranged paladin either. Right.
Like you Crusader Strike for Holy Paladin still generates Holy Power, right?
Yes. Yes. Sorry, somebody literally just pinged me.
So in order to generate, you know, enough Holy Power, you need to be in there pushing Crusader Strike.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no version of Paladin, and there's no version of Mistweaver in my mind that plays nine melee. Okay. And I think that's fine. Like, two of the six healing specs, you're in melee. The other four, you can be at ranged, which I think is a fine split.
Yeah.
Right. I just don't think we see I don't think we see a major revamp for Monk. I think other classes end up getting it, right? You know, I think Paladins are a little bit weak now, so they probably get some sort of massive revamp where all their healing is just AoE and it's all on one button and they don't have to do anything. They don't worry about mana. Basically, they just get Ashen Hollow all the time. But, like, 9.0 Ashen, not the current one.
Of course. And then they unnerf Devo Aura and Aura Mastery at the same time and bring back Old Glimmer all at the same time.
Glimmer's back. Aura Mastery now increases to 80% damage reduction, and baseline Devo is like 11% reduction of all damage, not just physical. So it's just this flat, like, any damage the raid takes, 10% reduction, 11% reduction, which I think is fair. But dumbass class. Sorry. I think you see large revamps, but I don't think we see one for monks in general. I think they make changes, but I don't think we see now Windwalkers, you know. Yeah, neither do I, Siri. I don't think we see Chi coming back to Mistweaver. I don't think we see some major change to Windwalkers, and I think Brewmaster continues to play.
Oh, okay. Here's a prediction for Brewmaster. I think Brewmaster's getting Chi back.
You do? Okay. Interesting. I mean,
we have this thing in Shadowlands called Purified Chi. It's a buff. It's very annoying and short buff. Mm-hmm. But we have Purified Chi. You have to track the buff. It's not an actual, we don't have Chi in our resources. You have to track the buff. It's a very important one. Mm-hmm. But it's like really janky because they didn't actually just give us Chi, the resource. So
interesting. I didn't know that.
It would be not a big leap for us to get Chi back. And it may function the same way, it may not. So Brewmaster has issues right now where like a bunch of things break down if you don't take enough damage, which means like in lower content still, Brewmaster is kind of in a weird state where like all of our mitigation and damage scales so hard off of the damage that we take.
Right. Yeah.
It's pretty lackluster and like, you know, normal and even heroic rating. Mm-hmm. That I wouldn't be surprised to see chi generated in other ways than getting hit in the face real hard. But I think Brewmaster will get chi back.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I don't see. I mean, wish list item would be for like chi and sort of a revamp to Mistweaver, but I think they're fine with the way that Mistweaver is playing right now, unfortunately. So, all right. So I had a couple of off the wall predictions. So these are things that like I more like wish list items, I'd say, versus anything else, right? So the first is I don't think we get a new level cap. Okay. I think everything becomes a story like progression through the content where like you essentially just unlock it based on doing story level quests. And there's like a main story thread that you have to complete. And then there are like side quests that get added on, like that you can do if you want to flesh out the story, but like aren't required. And maybe those side areas unlock initially like additional flight points or like you do the side content to like move around the world slightly. But if you just wanted to mainline and get into it, like you just mainline the story and then you get to max level and you unlock the ability to do like whatever is like the new end game content, right? Through like the story. Just do away with leveling.
I don't think they're going to do that. And so actually I would be unhappy if they did that. I like leveling. I would not be super happy to see it go away. Now, so kind of similar to your prediction, I think the campaign style from Shadowlands release is here to stay. I also think they're going to change how they tune it so that you can just do the campaign straight through without stopping. You won't have to do the thing like you did in 9.0 where you had to stop and do side quests or stop and do dungeons or stop and do literally anything. Yeah. In order to continue the campaign, you're going to be able to do the campaign the whole way through, no stopping, no breaks, get to the end of it. Maybe it doesn't take you all the way to the new level cap. Maybe it only gets you 90% of the way there and the other 10% you need to figure out on your own. But I do think that they're going to do away with the breaks in the middle of the campaign where you have to go and do other things. Except in like really extreme case, like maybe if you just mainline it and you do literally nothing else, you hit like a breakpoint halfway through where it's like, okay, stop now, go do a dungeon, then come back, you'll be fine, they won't bite, you know.
My only counterpoint to that is that's literally what I'm describing, except you get a second. You get a bar that sometimes stop you from moving forward.
All right. And you are a very bars go up kind of person.
So this is why it's wild for me in that I don't care about my XP bar. Like it would be an off the wall idea to just be like, look, you just have story progression. Like all of your progression is tied to, well, actually, so maybe if we sort of expand upon this a little bit, and I think you've talked about this about reps is, what if it's not an XP bar you're filling? What if it's a reputation bar you're filling and you have to fill a reputation bar to leave the zone to go to the next zone? I love it. God, huge fan. Now we have 5, 6, 8, 10 different bars to level up instead of just one dumb XP bar. Come on now.
So the reason I think they're not going to do away with it is that they need something to actually like get people through the campaign. And like, okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about the F game here. So in Final Fantasy, you do your campaign quests, and it's fundamentally not a different experience from WoW's. On a mechanical gameplay level, not a different experience from WoW's campaign. They're very similarly structured. And in fact, there's a lot more like just watching people talk, at least in Endwalker's Final Fantasy campaign, Just a lot of sitting there and watching people talk to each other. And, you know, there's a cutscene and you go, maybe you go kill some things and then you go watch more people talk. There's a lot more actually like playing your class in the WoW campaign in Shadowlands.
Right.
But what it has that WoW's doesn't is that the story is well written and compelling while you're leveling.
Which
and
is
the Shadowlands campaign really doesn't have that. But the other thing that you can use to get people motivated to stay leveling, to keep going, is by giving them a bar to fill. It's exactly. Very, very cynical in a way, but I think they're going to try and get you on the story and have the XP bar there as a fallback, basically, and say, you know, even if you get a part in the story you're not interested in, or if we don't land the story hooks, then there's still the XP bar to keep you moving on through the story.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I get that that's what the XP bar is there for. I just think it would be a really interesting idea to like just say you and here's the interesting thing. It would be like, so here's my larger prediction, and I think this is why it may fit into like my idea of using Chromie time a little bit more, using that old content, is that they then, since like currently, right, you can do any of the previous expansions content 1-60 or 1-50, I'm sorry. And then 50 to 60 is spent in Shadowlands.
Sorry, I'll let you finish.
So the idea there would be like they just then move Shadowlands content into that 1-60 range, and you now can level up doing it that if you really like Shadowlands, and then 60 becomes the story jump off point to whatever the current expansion is. And that way every expansion post this, they just add all of Dragonflight, whatever new 10.0 expansion is called, into that 1-60 Chromie time, and then new expansion becomes jumping off point from a story progression perspective.
Yeah. I do think I would not be surprised to see them say, after you complete the campaign on one character, you can level from 1-60 in any expansion.
That would be an interesting. Yeah. Interesting. That's a tough. So basically you could start. I feel like they wouldn't
like
do that.
You need a character.
That's such a break. The campaign. Yeah.
But then your next character, you could go level through mists. And you can already do that, but then you get to the point where you're finally reaching the max level mist zones that you haven't done since Mists of Pandaria, because they haven't been a relevant part of the leveling path since then. And you hit level 50 and now you have to stop and go to Shadowlands content. Like,
oh, okay. So what you're talking about isn't that you can start with, say, if this was Shadowlands, you couldn't start with Shadowlands at level 1 and go to 60. It's that you basically
you could go.
Oh, so it's that including that too. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like right now you have the awkward break where you hit level 50 and you have to go to the current expansion. Yeah. And what I'm saying is like after your first character goes through the campaign, you have to, or like you can continue in the whatever expansion you were doing.
Exactly.
Andrew brings up something in chat, which is a good point. Guild Wars 2 actually has what you're proposing. There's no new, the level cap, like when the game released 12 years ago or whatever, was 80. It's still level 80. But they do this sneaky thing where they have these things called mastery tracks that you can get mastery for different skills. And in order to get mastery for a certain skill, you have to be in a certain zone. And for end game content, you want mastery in a bunch of the different skills. So you have to play through a bunch of the different zones. So in some ways, it's not really like you don't need all of them and you don't you don't need everything, but you need like legendary skill unlocks and things like that you get by doing the newer zones. So there's still a lot of going through all of the expansions in order to be current for raiding and things like that. But it's not a new level cap. You know, the gear that you had at level 80 is still, it's not so relevant. Like I have ascended gear from the original base game, and I can guarantee you it is no longer relevant. but it's a lot closer than, you know, having what was a level 60 in vanilla to a level 60 now.
That's
so
fair.
Here's a related prediction. No new level cap, but not in the way you think. They're going to squish us to 50 again and we level to 60.
That's actually much more reasonable, which I think is something they've talked about before, where like we're just going to reset down to 50 and 50 to 60 just becomes the new expansion, which I mean, I think that's probably the safest bet from a prediction perspective of like just like squish,
yeah,
re-level to 60 and that's like your 10 levels, right? I think the biggest problem, and this is maybe not a prediction, but an issue that I have, is that like they didn't do a very good job in Shadowlands. And this is one thing I hope they change. Not, this isn't really a prediction, but if we do level, I mean, to be fair, I think we're going to end up leveling anyway, but if they're going to change our spells as we level, make a bigger deal out of it. Like,
yes,
just like, cause like before, like I always look back at, was it Cataclysm? I think Cataclysm ended up doing this really well, where like you would get like a rank two of an ability or a new rank of an ability. And they made such a big deal of like that occurring that like, if they do something similar here with this expansion, where like you're getting new abilities, or like changes to it, like upgrades to existing abilities, like rank two, rank three, whatever it ends up being. They make that a bigger deal because like Enveloping Breath for Mistweaver. Like I literally had to make a video about how to use it and post it for the community because like we were looking at logs with like 30-40% of people not using it correctly.
Yeah.
And so like, I mean, like that's an issue. So I think that might be, that's not really a prediction, but yeah.
We have a lot of people come in to Peak asking about the, like what makes Invoke Niazal do so much damage. And they're level 60. They have just missed the fact that rank two, that you get a level 52, mm-hmm. makes it do damage based on damage taken or damage purified rather. But yeah. Okay. So I think this actually is a UI add-on thing because the game still does the same kind of pop-ups that it did in Cataclysm.
Right. I feel like they didn't push it as hard. Like they didn't, like in Cataclysm, it was such a big deal in terms of like, and this, I think it's maybe not even a UI thing. It's like a marketing material thing, like a more of like a marketing of the game type thing of like making them a bigger deal. Cause like in Cata, it was like one of the core components of it. And here, I don't think they even mentioned it. Or to be fair, it might just be like, hey, your abilities change every time a new expansion comes out when you level. And so like, it's just an expectation. They sort of like shove it down in like the footnotes of like new abilities and, you know, stuff like that. So,
yeah. Here's another one. There's no way this is happening, but it's a fun idea they talk about. Return of class trainers. You no longer get spells handed to you when you level up. You have to actually go and get them from a class trainer.
I'd love that. That would solve the UI issue that I'm sort of talking about, which is like the fact that you don't realize what you're actually getting.
Yeah.
Right. Which I think would be cool. I think class trainers, like I think the problem with the game, and maybe this is just I'm old. This is another Anam is an old person, right? Type of player, but like I think the game streamlines a little bit too much.
Yeah.
In terms of like being just easy to jump in and jump out. And I think that easiness hurts some aspects more than others.
And I think it's interesting reflecting on the leveling experience in Burning Crusade, which I like a lot. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And the way that it works a lot is that like I go through, so like right now I'm in Ungaro and I finished a bunch of stuff in Ungaro and I'm like, well, I just hit level 54. Let me head back to Orgrimmar and train. And well, since I'm already in Orgrimmar, maybe now is a good time for me to go and check out what quests I've got in Winterspring, since I'm already up here. And then, you know, when I hit level 56 in Winterspring, you know, I'm going to go train again. And then, you know, maybe now is a good time to go and pick up those quests that I didn't do in Ungaro because they were like red or orange. And now they're yellow and I can actually do them solo as a rogue.
Right. Yeah.
And so it gives you a nice natural breakpoint between like to get you out of an individual zone and into the next one. But that doesn't really jibe with the way that zones are designed now. Funnily enough, it actually kind of jibes with the way that zones were put together in Cataclysm, the new expansion zones in Cataclysm, because you could go back and forth between like three different zones at any given time, but people didn't.
Yeah.
So partially because there was no reason to ever leave your current zone.
yeah, just finish the story out and then go next was like the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so I have one final, I think, big crazy prediction, which I don't think is that crazy, but I think my idea of what they're going to do here is a little bit crazier is, is my prediction is cross-faction guilds and communities being a 10.0 feature, like a tentpole feature is sort of my idea here, in that they've already sort of talked about doing cross-faction content, but I think they're going to end up taking it one step further in 10.0 and basically remove the restriction between Horde and Alliance. I think you will still select your faction. I still think there will be like certain parts of the story leading up to the current expansion that will be very much Alliance or Horde focused. But I think starting in 10.0, they're going to design content that is very much doesn't matter your faction. And I think they're going to put in a bunch of systems to allow this. I think the communities feature, which I don't know. I mean, I rarely interact. I think I interacted with communities like one time for something. But I think they expand that idea.
We have our healers have a chat that is technically a community.
Oh, maybe ours is a community then too.
It's just easier than having like a, because I think you can still create like global chat channels.
Let me check my launcher.
It's easier to just do the community thing. I think you're right. I think we're going to see cross-faction guilds in 10.0. We're getting, for those that maybe missed the memo, we're getting cross-faction group content, instanced content in 9.2.5, whenever that comes out. The big thing that is missing from that is cross-faction guilds. So like my guild is going to be doing this thing where we're going to have like, so we're occasional excellence. We're going to have like allied excellence or something that's our alliance guild that's going to have the alliance characters in it. And then use either like Greenkeeper, which is an add-on that syncs guild chats, or just use a community to be our guild chat, and do it like that. But that's a lot of extra headache compared to just having a cross-faction guild.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I think it'll still be, I think the one thing is it'll still be server based, meaning like you can't do cross server or cross faction stuff. Like I don't think they'll expand it that far. But I think like if you're alliance on, like in my case Mal'Ganis, like if I'm an alliance Mal'Ganis character, like my idea is I can still join the guild and be a part of the guild that I'm in. Even though they're primarily Horde. Which I think is cool. It'll be interesting to see if they actually go through with this, because I think this is like the next step in terms of like after this, it then becomes from a dying game perspective, like the server merges, right? Like continually do a connected realm. Because I think this is sort of the last thing I think they need to do to sort of essentially save the alliance in this regard. Because if they go through another expansion, like other than what the Oceanics region, there's limited alliance guilds, right?
So. Yeah, I mean, it's very much a situation where it's just people play whatever has the most players. It just continues skewing that direction. So in Oceanic, it's going to get more alliance dominated. In the Americas and Europe, it's going to get more Horde dominated. And really, like being able to play cross faction, having it be so you can do all the stuff you were already doing, but do it on whatever race, you know, what faction you want is going to be the thing that saves, you know, the minority faction in every case.
I'm so excited to be a gnome monk. So excited. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. But no, I put that under like off the wall in terms of predictions.
The more I think about it, the more I think
it's like, going to be very, very, it'll be like a more locked in thing, particularly with the way that 9.2
the only reason I would like not commit to it 100% is technical reasons, like implementation on their side, like maybe assumes that, you know, you can only have Horde or Alliance in the guild and there's a whole bunch of spaghetti to untangle that needs to be done,
which is why I think maybe communities are the way they end up doing it, where like they link the current guild in-game guild structure to like a community. And like, so you still have to create a guild on Alliance, create a guild on Horde, but there's like, well, I guess you're right. Cause then you have to think about like guild banks and sort of that aspect of it.
Yeah. Like we do our, like, when we Vantus a boss, right? We drop a guild bank, everybody pulls a Vantus out of the guild bank, and Vantus is the boss. That's like a lot harder if only three quarters or half of your raiders can access the guild bank.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like we do, I mean, like all of our like raid materials, so like potions, flasks, or not flasks, but like potions, even like enchants and gems and stuff like that that we, the guild provides, there's all just in different tabs in the guild bank that you can pull from. Yeah, that would be the maybe the one technical thing they have to get over. But no, I think we see, I mean, I think, yeah, I think we see cross-faction guilds, which will be interesting, so.
Yeah. I had one more prediction, which I kind of already touched on, but I want to actually explicitly touch on it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the story for the new expansion, we are going to see it be like it's going to invoke a lot of the classic WoW vibes. It's going to invoke the dragonflights and things like that, but it's actually specifically going to be not cosmic. There's not going to be a cosmic horror threat, or not horror, but like a cosmic threat. We're not going to see the big bad that the jailer announced, at least in the announcement. Maybe it comes up in later patch content in the way that N'Zoth snuck into BFA or Argus. You know, came into Legion. But we're not going to see that as part of the announcement. It's going to be much more down to earth, much smaller scale. It's going to be the dragonflights dealing with the devastation on Azeroth from things like the Sword of Sargeras and the war, all of that. So yeah, that's my prediction on the story front.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like with the way the story, like, cause I'm such a lore nerd, has gone over the past few expansions. I don't know. I think you might be right, although I think they're too invested in this whole like light, void, you know, death thing that like I think that's always going to be an aspect of it. So no, I mean I would say that'd be interesting, but I don't think they abandoned it. I think it's still going to be like a cosmic power type thing that comes into being. I think I have the opposite take than you on this one, story-wise. But that did, so yeah. I think it's an interesting take, but I don't think they go that far. I think the story still has aspects of like the void and like light, you know, death, all that, whatever those things are. I don't even know,
I mean, like
the six
forces. I guess like little bits of it I think are inevitable with what the dragonflights are, right? Like Alexstrasza is the aspect of life and things like that. Yeah. So I think we're going to get little bits of it. I guess my thing is it's not going to be the focus. It's going to be like not even secondary, but like tertiary or
gotcha.
Whatever
okay.
the fourth degree is, you know, it's going to be footnotes, not major plot beats.
Yeah, I think that part of the story is too front and center for me. So I think while it would be interesting, I think it's still going to be front and center from my perspective. So.
Okay.
So real, I know we're coming to the end of the time, but there was one sort of quick hitter. Sorry, I'm like throwing stuff on here as we're talking about it because I'm reading chat and people are throwing ideas, but so prediction wise, I personally think they're going to go back and start to rebuild some of the areas that have been destroyed over the past few expansions. So the two cure areas I'm thinking of are Teldrassil, of course, which I think somehow begins to be rebuilt through the course of the story. And then the other one is Lordaeron. And I think for Lordaeron, they actually end up making it an alliance and undead type city this would be predicated on the fact that like the factions are no longer warring with each other, but like the idea of Lordaeron being a joint city I think is something that they could do. I think they're rebuild some stuff
related to that. We got a question earlier, I can see if I can figure out who asked it. But the question is, did you see the seed that was data mined on the PTR, the gift from the Winter Queen?
I did. Yeah, I did see that, which is where this came from. And I think somebody mentioned Lordaeron in chat, too. So, yeah, I triggered both those things in my mind.
Yeah, it's so The situation is there's this seed that's been data mined. It is like a world tree seed, as far as we can tell. And this is a gift from the Winter Queen to one of the night elves that hangs out at the in the Nightfae Sanctum. That there's a lot of speculation. Like, it's just early data mining, right? But like a lot of speculation that we're going to see that planted and become a new world tree to replace Teldrassil. Now, whether that will be in Teldrassil's location, like, what if that's the new capital city in 10.0?
Oh, they could do that. Like, the world is healing. Or I think some other people speculate, I read the same thread, that it's actually going to be planted in Silithus and help remove the sword. Yeah.
Yeah.
And help heal the wounds of Azeroth.
You know, that's actually, that would actually be such a cool silhouette. You have this giant sword and you just have the tree growing around it.
Like around
it. And the sword isn't removed, but it, you know, helps, I don't know, heal the wound.
Azerite leaking all over the world or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be interesting to see where they take part of the story. I'm actually, so I say this every time, but I'm going to make a concerted effort, I think, to actually read the storylines in this expansion coming up.
You did this expansion.
Thanks. I did, actually.
Just you picked the worst time to do it.
I did. I tried to, we went through all the different faction, like the Covenant storylines, and I was like reading all of it to try and figure out what was going on. But yeah. It'll be interesting.
We got one more question specifically for you. They've asked it a few times. Okay. We'll get to it. Baseline ancient teachings of the monastery thoughts.
They already did this. They did Eminence before. Eminence was the sort of the ability for folks who are listening. It's whenever you did damage as a Mistweaver, you would heal targets around you. And ancient teachings is essentially a lighter version for the current version of the game. Like a lighter version of that, where you activate the ability for your Rising Sun Kick, Tiger Palm, and Blackout Kicks to heal based on the damage they do, and you activate it using Essence Font. Do I think they bake it into the base class? No. I think so, and the reason I say no is like they do, I guess it's a caveated answer. I think they bake it in if they remove Essence Font. And it becomes a sort of a different thing, because like, I think the way that legendary works right now, while it's really cool, it's supplemental to the way that you currently heal. Like, you can get by without using ancient teachings. And to be fair, you don't play around ancient teachings at all. It's just really a nice to have. Like, you can do a little bit more damage and still people won't die. And so like, I think that it's okay, but I don't know. If they were going to go back to the whole like idea of Mistweavers doing more damage or doing damage to heal, they basically have to rip something like Atonement and put it into Mistweaver. Because the original version of Mistweaver was fully smart heals, and like they've removed those from the game. That's not a part of their healing design anymore.
Right.
So I think to really do something similar and make it impactful, it has to be targeted, or it has to be like based on a buff that you put up on specific targets, because to make it AoE and make it semi-smart and make it just always on, it'll be like Soothing Mist on the move. It'll be like Soothing Mist was in Legion, yeah, which is just a tacked on thing. And it'll be something you don't even care about, doesn't move the needle. So to make it actually something like Fist, like I hate saying Fist Weaving because people are gonna say it's something different, but to make it similar to Eminence was in WoD and MOP, it has to be, you have to be able to focus it. So you have to target someone to do that piece, or you have to have like a very specific way to activate the ability. And it can't be an always on thing. So I think that's my answer. It's very long winded, but
Yeah.
I think it stays around in some capacity, but I don't think it ever. If it stays around in any capacity, it'll just stay how it is, and it'll be baked into the base class, and it'll be just as, it'll be interesting, but won't be as impactful as you think it'll be. So,
yeah. Okay.
So those are my thoughts on it.
I think this actually brings us to the end of our time today.
Yes.
And then we both have more stuff we got to get through this afternoon, because for one thing, I got to get this edited and uploaded in the next couple of hours.
I have work.
Yes. So we're going to end the episode here. Thank you all for watching and or listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, you can support this podcast and all of the work that we do at the Peak of Serenity over on our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, come and join the Discord. That is the premier place to bug Anomaly with all of your Mistweaver questions.
Don't ask me about ranged Mistweaver ever. I'm banning you.
And of course, the lounge channels are a great place to hang out, and are going to be very busy and excited tomorrow during the announcement.
Very busy. It'll be fun.
It's going to be great. Yep. That is it for the show today. Thank you all for watching, and we will see you next week.
Bye.